Hi there. Welcome to Your Aha Life, the podcast for those who want more for their lives, more joy, more purpose, and more fulfillment. I'm your host, Tanya Harris Cornelius. In each episode, I will bring you stories of insight and inspiration to help you craft the life you dream of living, your aha life. After listening to today's podcast, follow me over to my private Facebook group, The Aha Community, and on Instagram at tanya.youraha.life, and we'll continue the conversation. Now let's get started. Hi there, this is Tanya. Welcome back to Your Aha Life. I'm so happy to have you with me today. Hope you're having a wonderful day. I have a topic. It's a topic that readers of my blog have asked me to write about and talk about. And so far, up to this point, I've only like touched on this topic. I haven't gone straight on with this topic. And I'll tell you why. It's huge. It's big. It's something that we all deal with. And I wasn't sure if I knew enough to even share and if I could be helpful in that way. But yes, I'm jumping in, and I will not approach this topic as though I know a lot or that I am some kind of sage or expert on the topic. I want to come to this topic today as an explorer, just like you, wondering. So what is the topic? Okay. The topic is comparing ourselves to others. Yeah, that's a big one. I tell you, people that I, friends I have, colleagues I have, even coaching clients, this comes up. And as I said, readers of my blog, this comes up so often about comparing ourselves to others. And so here's what I wanted to share, because I'm just approaching this from a point of curiosity, just like you. So the questions that I had about it were, okay, so why do we compare ourselves to others? Why do we do it? And the other thing is there any good that comes from comparing ourselves to others? Is there anything to be gained from comparing ourselves to others? And for all the negative emotions that can crop up when we compare ourselves to others, how do we stop that? So that's what I'm talking about today. I hope this topic interests you. I'm so interested in it. And as I say, I'm approaching it as a seeker, as an explorer. And I want you to come along with me and learn more about it. I have my notes here, so I'm going to be checking those often just to share with you. And I won't bury the lead. So the lead is, it's about our self-worth. It's about our own sense of who we are and our intrinsic worth. That is the thing that we have to remember when we are comparing ourselves to others. For one thing, so that we can compare ourselves in a reasonable way, even if we can't fully stop that comparing ourselves to others. So that's what I'm talking about. And I want to start with a story. So it goes all the way back to second grade. Yeah, some things never leave us, right? So this story has just been with me, yes, in second grade. So I'm going to share it really briefly. My mother taught me in second grade. That was a treat. On this particular day, we were going to lunch in the cafeteria, and we sat at the big cafeteria table. My mother sat at the head of the table, and we all sat around and we were all eating our lunch. And I remember being so excited about today or about that day because we had chocolate cake for dessert. Chocolate cake was on the menu and I loved chocolate cake. So as we're eating our lunch and we're going about, you know, kind of just chit-chat with our friends at the table. Then it came dessert time, and I was so excited to jump into my, to dig into my chocolate cake. And as I was about to take my first bite, a friend of mine, her name is Deborah, and said, "If you give me your chocolate cake, I'll be your friend." And I was thinking to myself, oh, no, she didn't. No, she didn't ask me for my chocolate cake. But you know what? I, as disappointed as I was, I started pushing my chocolate cake across the table to her, willing to give up the thing that I loved for her promise of friendship. Mind you, we were already friends, so I don't even know. Our mothers were best friends. We grew up together. We crawled together. But she said, "If you give me your chocolate cake, I'll be your friend." And so as I'm pushing this cake across the table, because she sat across from me, I heard the voice at the head of the table said, "Eat your cake." And so I, you know, of course, pulled the cake back toward me, being embarrassed that my mother had witnessed that exchange, but also feeling very happy that she saved me from myself. And I was able to eat my cake that day. There are so many ahas, so many lessons that come from that story. But as it pertains to self-worth, as it pertains to why we compare ourselves to others and the very act of comparing ourselves to others, I thought about that story and I said, what did I not value about myself? Or better still, what did I value in Deborah that I did not, you know, see in myself? What was it about her that I wanted more? And I was willing to give up something of value that I had, albeit an external value, a chocolate cake, nothing intrinsic at that time. But I pondered on that. And as I was reading these articles and this book on, you know, self-esteem and self-worth and you know, why we compare ourselves to others, I thought about the chocolate cake. And I thought, yeah, I didn't believe that I had enough value, enough self-worth, that I was willing to barter. I was willing to barter the chocolate cake in order to receive a bit of what I perceived Deborah, who was extremely popular, who was outgoing, who was definitely very confident. All of these qualities that I, as an introvert and shy and a little insecure, maybe a lot insecure, I didn't have those things. And I saw it and I saw those things in her. And that's what I wanted. And if that meant giving up the chocolate cake that day, I was willing to do that. So that's the story. And that's what, you know, there are other stories that I have. Maybe I'll tell them throughout this this session today. But I really wanted to share that at the crux of why we compare ourselves to others is something to do with our own sense of worth, our own sense of self-worth. And so I want to dig in on this topic. So come along with me. So one of the things that I learned as I was reading is we compare ourselves to others. We do it. It's a fact. It's natural for us. In fact, comparing ourselves to others is a human tendency. And you know why? Because we are social beings. We're social beings, and the way that we develop our own sense of self, own understanding of who we are, how we are alike and how we are different, is by comparing ourselves to others. So Jean Desity and Jessica A. Somerville wrote an article 17 years ago in 2003. Can't believe it's been that long. The article is entitled "Shared Representations Between Self and Other, a social cognitive neuroscience view. I know that's a long title. I'm not going to get all sciencey on you and all of that, but they have a quote in there that really resonated with me when I was reading it. So much about the article actually resonated with me. So if you can find it on Google Scholar or whatever, it's Jean Desity and Jessica A. Somerville, Shared Representations Between Self and Other. The quote is, "The self cannot be grasped and conceptualized independently of a conceptualization of others." And so a second article that I wrote cited a 1954 study by Vestinger. So I specifically say 1954 because what's interesting is we've been studying this, comparing ourselves to others and making sense of ourselves in relationship to others for such a long time. And it's still such a prevalent topic or a request for topic. And so anyway, in 1954, Vestinger found that people seek an accurate knowledge of themselves. So we want to know ourselves and we want an accurate understanding of who we are. And so they compare themselves to others that they perceive to be similar to them as a way of knowing themselves. I thought both of those quotes were so interesting. And what they taught me is we cannot even come to know ourselves, and understand ourselves apart from knowing and understanding others. So comparing ourselves to others is a human tendency. We are social beings. It is natural for us to compare ourselves to others. We do it almost innately. And there is some good that comes from it. You know, I wanted to know, like, what good comes from comparing ourselves to others? It seems to be somewhat of a downward spiral when we do that, but there's some good that comes from comparing ourselves to others. It's a way in which we can relate to others. They relate to us, we relate to them, and we build relationship because we are able to know one another. We're able to see what we have in common with others, and we're able to also see our uniqueness, and that's incredibly useful to us. And in terms of skills that we can build, empathy is right at the top of that, because we can identify with others, and we, through comparison, through finding similarities and even differences, we can build empathy skills. We can put ourselves in another person's shoes because we have this skill or this innate act of comparing ourselves to others as a way to know ourselves and as a way to know them. So, bottom line, we can only really conceptualize ourselves in the context of conceptualizing others. And what this really reminded me of is a few years ago, I read this book. It's called The Book of Joy. It was written by Douglas Abrams in collaboration with His Holiness the Dalai Lama and the Archbishop Desmond Tutu. So these spiritual leaders were having an in-person meeting, and they were talking on the meaning of joy. So that's what the book is about. But in that book, the Archbishop uses an African word called Ubuntu. And Ubuntu, the way that he described it in the book and the way I've read about it since then, it means, "I am who I am because of who you are." It is an understanding that I can really only make meaning of myself in relationship to others, that when you thrive, I thrive. It's a humanity word. It is understanding our humanity and that my existence, I get to know myself as a human because I get to know you as a human. And in relationship to humanity, we get to know ourselves more deeply and build that empathy and build this sense of humanity. So I love that word, and it just stuck out with me. I remember highlighting that word at the time. So it's come full circle as I'm talking about comparing ourselves to others today. So in addition to just being able to make sense of who we are, I want to talk about this theory. It's called social comparison theory. And what the social comparison theory suggests is that we compare ourselves to others in order to evaluate ourselves. It's a form of evaluation. We are able to evaluate our own abilities. We're able to assess our opinions and perspectives against the opinions and perspectives of others. We make sense of what it is we believe in. We judge our characteristics, rightfully or wrongfully. We judge our characteristics, our qualities, our values, our belief systems, and so on and so on. We compare ourselves to others as a form of self-evaluation. We use others as a yardstick by which we measure ourselves. Now you can see where this can start to go into a downward spiral. There is a healthy component to that. We are making sense of ourselves, and in and of itself, it's not bad, you know, to compare yourself to others, to understand why you have a perspective or an opinion and compare your opinion and perspective to that of another. In and of itself, it's not bad. So again, I want to just keep peppering throughout this talk is around our sense of self-worth and our intrinsic value. That is going to be the differentiator. We also, what I read is we size people up pretty quickly. When we encounter someone intuitively, we either see that person as superior to us in some way, maybe not always, but in some way, we either see that person as superior, inferior, or on par with us. So we are that yardstick, that measuring stick is always in the back of our minds. Maybe it is that reptilian brain that is survival, and we're trying to see, is this person a threat to me? Is this person a friend to me? Is this collegial or is this competitive in some way? So we're always sizing people up, and we size them up. We think, are they smarter than I am? Are they more attractive than I am? Are they more successful than I am? What is their job versus my job? You know, we do this intuitively, but I will tell you, by doing this, this is where you have to protect your self-esteem. First of all, you have to ensure that you have a healthy self-esteem, because if you don't, and you size someone up and you think that they are superior to you, your self-esteem can take a hit. And this is where, this is what I hear from people, whether they are coaching clients of mine, whether they are just friends, or whether they are people who are reading my blog and ask me to write about this. They usually are not coming to me because comparing themselves to others has been a highlight for them. They're usually coming to me because comparing themselves to others has actually been something that has gotten in their way and actually has made them stuck. So while comparing yourself to another is not necessarily a bad thing, if you overindulge in it, if it gets the better of you, comparing yourself to the extent that you lose the appreciation for your own strengths and weaknesses, your own uniqueness, it will impact your self-esteem. And that is definitely harmful. So the key to healthy comparison is self-awareness. And that's what I want to spend time on today. The more that we know ourselves, this is why in every coaching relationship engagement that I have, I always start with, how well do you know yourself? Let's get to know who you are a little better. I just thoroughly believe that when we know ourselves, we can be grounded in who we are and not swayed back and forth by who someone else is or what someone else is doing, and really focus in on ourselves. And when we put the focus on ourselves, we take the focus off of others, and that's a good thing. So the more we know and understand our own desires, our own wishes, our own dreams, our own intentions, our belief system, our values, our strengths, weaknesses, et cetera, we are able to make more reasonable comparisons, because sometimes we're comparing ourselves to another and it's like comparing apples to oranges. First of all, no one has our life. We are unique. Out of 7+ billion people in the world, there is not another you on this planet. Planted too, but there's not another me. We are one. And so we're just trying to understand ourselves and get to know ourselves as a part of the whole without losing ourselves in that comparison. So as I said, for the next few minutes, what I want to focus in on is the importance of self-awareness. And particularly, I want to focus in on self-esteem. I want to focus on self-esteem, as I said at the very beginning, so you don't go down this dark path when you are comparing yourself to another. There's this book that I came across as I was preparing for this talk, this session, and it's by Glenn R. Schiraldi. I'll put it in the show notes so that you have it. It's also an older book. It was written in 2007 or published in 2007. The book is entitled 10 Simple Solutions for Building Self-Esteem, How to End Self-Doubt, Gain Confidence, and Create a Positive Self-Image. I mean, whether I'm talking about comparing yourself to others or anything else, that book, the title of it alone drew me in, because so much of what we are trying to overcome or trying to master, if you will, is bound up in our own sense of self-esteem, our own self-image, you know, getting rid of self-doubt, gaining more self-confidence, whether it's about, you know, trying to accomplish a goal, whether it is comparing ourselves to others, or just being our best self and living our best lives. I think that this book might be truly helpful. I was not able to read all of it, but even the parts that I did read, I think are hugely useful for today's talk. And I definitely want to go back and finish that book. So I am preliminarily recommending that book by Glenn R. Schiraldi, 10 Simple Solutions for Building Self-Esteem, How to End Self-Doubt, Gain Confidence, and Create a Positive Self-Image. So here we go. These are all the things that I believe can protect you, protect me, protect anyone from losing themselves when they are comparing themselves to others. So self-esteem is strongly related to our happiness and well-being. It is proven that those who have a positive self-esteem are actually more resilient and are more motivated to live productive and healthy lives. In his book, Schiraldi says, self-esteem is, this is how he defines it. He defines it as a realistic and appreciative opinion of oneself. I love that simple definition of self-esteem, a realistic and appreciative opinion of oneself. And the key words in there is realistic and appreciative. So by realistic, he said that when people are really building self-esteem, they are telling truth to themselves, that there's no masquerade with yourself. Like, let's get real with ourselves and deal in the truth. When we are accurately and honestly aware of what our strengths are, what our weaknesses are, and everything else in between, that is being realistic. It's when we want to hide the truth even from ourselves that we will have a difficult time really building our own sense of self-esteem, because self-esteem is grounded in honesty. The second word is appreciative. And this simply means that you have an overall good feeling about yourself. And I think of it as self-acceptance, right? So even with all of my strengths and all of my flaws, you know, I appreciate myself and I accept myself for who I am. So this definition of self-esteem is a realistic and appreciative opinion of oneself. And he gives these three building blocks to self-esteem, and I'm going to go through them very quickly. The first one I'm going to go through, going to take a little bit longer on this one, because this is what the whole talk is about today. This is what I opened up with, and it is self-worth. So he calls this first building block unconditional worth. And I love what he says here. He says that all people, every last person, has equal, immeasurable, and unchanging intrinsic worth. Wow, I just want that to soak in for a minute. You know, equal, immeasurable, unchanging intrinsic worth, simply because we exist. We are a person. So my thinking that Deborah, who, by the way, we are lifelong friends. She's my friend today. You know, I've loved her. You know, like I said, we crawl together. But so when she wanted my chocolate cake, for some whatever reason at that time, I thought she had something, she had more intrinsic worth than I did. But no, unconditional worth means that we all have an equal share of intrinsic worth. We all have worth. And our worth is not increased or decreased by anything external. So you can't get more self-worth, you can't get less self-worth. And here's what I mean by anything external cannot add to or subtract from your self-worth. Your job title does not add or subtract from your self-worth. Promotions. Economic status, the amount of money you have in your bank doesn't matter as it relates to your intrinsic worth. Gender, race, ethnicity, disabilities or abilities, popularity. So I was trading my chocolate cake for popularity. Relationship status. Nothing. None of these things. I mean, you can keep adding on. Just think of things. None of this can make you have more self-worth or less self-worth, because our self-worth is intrinsic to who we are. Your worth is immeasurable, and all of us have self-worth. These externals, what they do sometimes is they can change the way you experience your self-worth, but they don't change the fact that you have worth. You have intrinsic worth. Even people, so I thought this was interesting, even people who experience trauma in their lives, I mean, are victims in a lot of ways. They have worth. They have intrinsic worth in their lives. They have the same worth as the person who does not experience any trauma. So for those of you who, you know, grew up feeling very loved and taken care of, successfully completing task and achievement after achievement after achievement, you have no more or no less self-worth than the next person. So though we may experience our intrinsic worth differently, the fact that we have self-worth is unchanging. It's unchanging. So I just think that this building block, this first building block is huge. Once we know that we have self-worth, and when we are comparing ourselves to others and comparing it reasonably, and we are showing a realistic and appreciative understanding of ourselves, we have self-esteem, we can get through any of this. And comparing yourself to others can actually be a positive thing instead of a negative thing. So understanding your unconditional worth is a game changer. You can make comparisons and still keep your self-esteem intact. You can appreciate all of the similarities that you have in common with someone, all of the differences that you have with others, without feeling bad about yourself and without thinking somehow, some way, they are better than you or you are lesser than them. And that's usually what happens. I mean, there were some studies that said, you know, when we compare ourselves to others, we actually give ourselves more credit than we give others credit. And I believe that's true also. We are quicker to see our strengths than sometimes our weaknesses. We call that blind spots. And we're quicker to see someone else's faults than we are sometimes to see their strengths. But all in all, when we are comparing ourselves to others, a lot of times if we perceive someone to be more attractive, they have a bigger, better job, their home life is somehow better than ours, it can make us feel inferior. But what the unconditional worth says, you are not inferior. Your self-worth is the same as the next person, as the next person, as the next person, regardless of what all these external things are, regardless of the bling, regardless of the job, the car, the house, or whatever. That person has no more value than the person who perhaps is homeless. And so I think that understanding that every person has intrinsic value is definitely a game changer. And so I wrote here, so when you associate your worth to external things, circumstances, or conditions, when you forget your intrinsic worth and you do start to focus in on those externals, that is when comparing yourself to another can take you on this roller coaster ride. You're up, you're down. Oh, I'm comparing myself to John. I'm better than he is, so I feel good. Oh no, but then I got, you know, Joan over here and I'm like, oh no, she's got it all put together. I feel so inferior next to her. Then my self-esteem takes a hit. You want to stop all that roller coaster stuff, right? I want to stop all of that. We all want to be consistent and use comparing ourselves to others as a way to know ourselves, but not a way to judge ourselves poorly. So the core worth, just remembering that our core sense of worth is independent of any external factor. It's the core of who you are and it cannot be changed. It's a fact, so facts, they're real. They are not changing. The fact, just like gravity is a law, the fact that you have intrinsic worth is a law, is a fact. And so let's embrace our intrinsic worth. So the other thing, I do want to cover this because this is something that also happened to me. I won't tell the long story of this, but when we are aware and we embrace our intrinsic worth, we have no need to compete with others. Competition with others can ruin relationships, can ruin working relationships. It happened to me that I was friends with a colleague at a former job. We were friends. Our work was definitely very integrated. So we had to partner a lot. And it was a healthy partnership until there was this advancement opportunity that had come up. And rumor had it that the senior HR executives were considering this other person and me for this advancement opportunity. Mind you, this person had been with the company like 10 years prior to me and have worked in so many different capacities. I never felt there was a competition there because I felt like, oh, she's got this and she rightfully, she's worked hard for it. She's a really excellent leader. So of course she has it, but she was competitive, you know, she was competitive and I don't want to absolve myself. I'm sure I contributed to this tension, this friction in some way, but it became very noticeable, not just between us, but among others. Other people were well aware of this friction between us, and it damaged our partnership. And I remember going to her office one day and said, like, we've got to solve this because this is not helping either one of our brand, right? So, what is going on here and why do you feel a need to compete with me? We don't get to make the decision, so why do you feel a need to compete? Now, this is my perspective. I'm sure if we were to ask her, she'd have a different perspective, but here goes, you know, I get to tell the story today. And so I remember her saying that she was fiercely competitive and she competes to win. And I said, whoa. And first of all, I thought we were friends, so I don't like to compete with friends. And secondly, I never perceived it as competition, and it really bothered me that she was willing to jeopardize our very strong partnership to compete for a job that neither one of us, it was not in either one of our control to make the decision on. Anyway, I say that to say that when you have an understanding of your intrinsic value, there is no need to compete with another person, because you know that person has value, but you also know that you have intrinsic value. And let's not let it ruin relationships, whether at work or in your personal life. It's just not worth it. When we know who we are, we can be more secure in ourselves, in our own sense of worth. So I want to move on to building block number two. Building block number two is unconditional love. Just like number one is unconditional self-worth, unconditional love. And so this is about receiving love, accepting it from others as well as yourself, and giving love to yourself and to others. Understanding and accepting your strengths, your weaknesses, all of that, and loving yourself, all of you, loving all of you and accepting all of you. That love is not conditioned on any of these external factors. Love does not create your worth. Remember this. Love does not create worth, because worth is unchanging, immeasurable, and always exists. It's already there. Now, just like having understanding your self-worth can, and having a healthy self-esteem can help you experience that in a greater way, it's the same with unconditional love. Unconditional love allows us to experience our worth in more positively, and also to help support this process of continued growth and development. We can always choose to love ourselves, even if we've been hurt and unloved by others. This is something that is within our control to do. It's within your control to do, is to love yourself completely and wholly, unconditionally. Building block number three is growth. So this ongoing growth, and yes, growth is not something that happens overnight. It's over time. So growth, Schiraldi says this, growth is the process of putting our love into action. Yeah, I'm still grasping that, but putting love into action, it stuck out with me enough for that. I wanted to leave it with you. Growth is not a destination. It is ongoing, always. And growth does also does not change your sense of self-worth. So you see that self-worth is like the cornerstone. So once you understand your intrinsic self-worth, then you can love yourself unconditionally, and you can be motivated to be more productive and to grow in your life. It helps us to experience our self-worth in a greater sense of satisfaction and fulfillment, growth does. So as I wrapping this up, remember that it is normal for us to compare ourselves to others. But please, please, please don't take, you know, this comparing yourself, don't let it take you down this dark road of self-doubt, a poor self-image, and low self-esteem. The way to stop comparing yourself to others in a way that's damaging to you is to build your self-worth, your self-esteem. This means having a humble and unshakable belief of who you are, and a sense of satisfaction that comes from recognizing and accepting your worth, and then expressing it through love and growth. And so here are some other things I jotted down for you to remember, not just for you, it's for me too, as I'm continuing to explore this topic. So this won't be the last time that I will speak or write on comparing yourself to others, and particularly self-esteem and self-worth, and you know, unblocking the self-doubt and all of that. But it says, Self-esteem is not boastful. It does not seek to put others down. I can go to my friend at my former job who was comparing herself to me, or maybe I was even comparing myself to her, this competition ensued. It was really all about how can I put the other person down so that I lift myself up. Well, that's a sign of poor self-esteem. So someone with a healthy self-esteem actually looks to lift others up. A person with a healthy self-esteem is considerate of others, is considerate of your own well-being as well as the well-being of others. And so here, finally, this is the final thing here, five things that I wrote down that maybe you can try. You know, as I was reading the book and thinking myself around how do you truly build self-esteem so that you're not riding that roller coaster every time you encounter someone, you're intuitively sizing them up and measuring yourself against them, but you are not, you know, riding that self, you know, that roller coaster, that you have a consistent self-image of yourself. Maybe not a consistent self-image, because our image can change as we continue to grow, but the unchanging part of that, which is our intrinsic worth, so that you don't feel this urge to compare in a way that is damaging to you or to the other person or both. So number one, I really recommend that you make a list. Maybe it's part of your journaling experience that you make a list of all of your qualities and attributes. And as Schiraldi said, all of them, your strengths, your weaknesses, and then look at that list and embrace them all, because they're all a part of your unique self. And show appreciation for who you are, and remember that your worth is not dependent on any external factor, not dependent upon job, not dependent upon economic status, race, gender, all of that stuff. You are valued, you are valuable, you have value because you are a person. The second thing is to practice mindfulness. I thought this was so interesting that he said that studies show repeatedly that people who practice mindfulness, and not just mindfulness meditation, but mindfulness throughout your day, are actually more self-confident. So yeah, it's worth it, right? To practice mindfulness. Number three, when you feel tempted to draw comparisons to others, because you will, stop. Just pause. You know, this 10-second pause is useful more than just when we're angry. It's useful for us to pause and reflect. Reflect on our own desires, our own beliefs, our own values, our own goals and dreams. I believe it's really, really important, as I said earlier, that when you focus on yourself, you take your eyes off of the other person and you really just focus in on who you are, all the great things that you bring to this world and the things that you're most interested in. And you stop comparing yourself to the other person. Number four, closely aligned to that, is to set your goals, set a goal and commit yourself to working toward it. Again, when you are focused and you have intentions and you have all your energy pointed toward the life that you desire for yourself, then you don't even have time to compare yourself to others. And I also advise, along with this, is helping others to achieve their goals. Remember, a healthy self-esteem is also marked by helping others to grow, lifting other people up. So set a goal, focus on it, work toward it, but also see how you might be instrumental in helping someone else achieve their goals. And then number five is something that I've always done, has been hugely helpful to me, and I want to share it with you, is always stay open and willing to learn from others, to learn from the other person. The person that you are comparing yourself to has something to teach you, whether it's teaching you something you could learn from in a positive way, or maybe that person is teaching you what you don't want more of in your life. You want less of that. whatever, stay open to learning from that person. I will tell you, the person that I, you know, talked about was, we got into this competition together. I have to say we got into this competition, although I really feel I was not competing with her, but it was a competition. So I'll leave it at that. What I admired about her so was her discipline and her organizational skills. So even though there was some friction that ensued between us, there was still something that I gained from that relationship. And so instead of seeing someone as the enemy or as the competition, look at that person with new eyes, you know, have open ears, have an open heart to say, what can I learn from these people? What can I learn from this person that I find myself comparing myself to all the time? And it, again, it might be something you want to do more of, or it may be, hey, that's what I don't want in my life. There's sure to be lessons learned. So that's it for today. This is a big topic, and I will continue, and I hope you will continue to, you know, reflect on it. Again, journal on it, you know, write down these qualities that you have. Get to know yourself better by understanding your own desires, your own strengths, your own weaknesses, your own goals and intentions for life, and take your eyes off of the other person as much as you can. So thanks so much for listening. I'll be back again in a couple of weeks with another episode of Your Aha Life. For now, this is Tanya signing off. I wish you so much more joy, more purpose, and more fulfillment in your life. Have a good one. Bye. Thank you for joining me. Come back again for another episode that will inspire you to live the life you dream about and the life that you're meant to live. Now head on over to my private Facebook group, The Aha Community, and to Instagram at tanya.youraha.life, and let's continue the conversation. I'm Tanya Harris Cornelius, and this is Your Aha Life.